Our first scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Thanks be to God for this.
This morning's New Testament scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 44 through 60. This is Stephen talking. Our ancestors had a tent of testimony in the wilderness, as God directed when he spoke to Moses, ordering him to make it according to the pattern he had seen. Our ancestors in turn brought in with Joshua when they brought it in with Joshua when they were dispossessed, the peoples whom God drove out before our ancestors. And it was there until the time of David, who found favor with God and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the house of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands, as the prophet says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears? You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You're the ones who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look! He said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. When they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. May God bless and lend understanding. I'm going to ask Jeff to show some photos of people that are famous or that should be famous. Louis Braille. Anybody know what Braille did? He invented a way for people to communicate who could not see. They still have Braille If you go to elevators, you see little dots there that would tell a person who didn't have eyesight how to, you know, which floor to go to or which button to push. As a young boy, he was blinded in an accident at his father's wood shop. And that became the catalyst that drove him to create this system of communication that's still used today. And it has improved people's lives in general. People that are blind can function in society that uses Braille. Next image is really hard to make out, perhaps. Actually, it looks pretty good from here. Anybody guess who the painter is for this one? Monet. Oh, you guys all know this stuff, don't you? Yeah, he was famous for doing a lot of different studies of bridges. And just recently, just in the last 2 weeks, they have discovered what the characteristic feature of Impressionism is. Why Impressionism is always such a cloudy image. And it was due to industrialization, industrial pollution in the air. All the clouds, all the smoke created, everything was being made to look blurry because of that. And London, where this bridge was painted, would have more pollution than just about any place else in the world at that time. And so this is not just him taking something and giving it a blurry look, but this is actually maybe a little bit of documentation of what he was seeing with industrialization in full force going on in London. I do want to say about Monet, as he lost his vision later in life, and his vision loss progressed. But he continued to paint. Even in late in life, he was still producing important works. And then the last picture that there, anybody know who that is? Sure. Ray Charles. At some point, 4th of July coming up, Memorial Day coming up, at some point you're going to hear his version of America the Beautiful sung at some TV festival, that festivity that you're watching. Because it's kind of become the standard interpretation of that classic song, that worshipful song. What I found in a blog about him was that he broke down barriers in all kinds of music, and I think that's important. He even did a country album, you know, and it sold very well. It kind of transcended all the different barriers that we have for people, that certain people that look certain ways belong in certain categories, and he just decided to put out I Can't Stop Loving You, and it became a country classic. And so it just shows that blindness, physical blindness, did not create barriers for him, or that he was able to overcome those barriers. These are people that didn't have their eyesight for their whole lives anyway, and yet they saw something that no one else could see. And their vision is made all the more powerful because they couldn't use their physical eyes to have that vision the way the rest of us do. We all kind of rely on being able to see, to do things and get through life. And these people had to do it without their physical eyes. And today we have Stephen. Now, Stephen is not physically blind as far as we know, but he's attuned to a vision that's in his heart or in his mind or in his soul, and he sees something that's just not obvious to the rest of the people around them. Stephen was saying some of his last words, and he was stirring up the kind of anger that would have him be stoned to death. It's such a barbaric practice to think about, this is the way to kill people. This is the way to execute criminals as they viewed him. To take rocks and just throw them at him until dead. But this was how they thought it was appropriate for him. They were obviously very angry at him for the things he was saying. And basically the thing he was saying to them was that you people, the people of Jerusalem, you people right here, you've got a history of killing prophets. This is what you do. And he became the next one. to be stoned to death. But even before they threw the first rock, he saw something that nobody else did. He saw heaven opened up. And he said, "Look, look, it's right there in front of him. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man," which is a reference to Jesus. Jesus had earlier in Acts ascended to heaven. "And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Even as he's preparing to die, he sees this vision. As the rock lyrics say, "You're packing a suitcase for a place none of us has been, a place that has to be believed to be seen." And that's heaven for Stephen. He believes in heaven. He's talking about heaven to everyone, and they don't like it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think this is the future. But he sees something no one else does. Something has touched his heart that no sense can account for. As an aside, I think that's one of the reasons I'm such a music fan. I think it's appropriate to say it today. You know, obviously we hear music with our ears. If the beat is strong enough, we feel it in our bones. A big, powerful organ, you know, or a drum set or something like that, a loud amplifier putting out sound. We feel it maybe in a certain way. But even beyond that, music, in lyrics, you know, and tunes, it touches our souls in a way beyond the physical senses. You need more than five senses to really appreciate music, I think. You might see me many times when music is being played or sung here in the sanctuary. I've got my eyes closed. I don't need to see anything. I want to heighten everything else, and I just want to experience that. I want it to touch my heart, because it does. And these are places in our hearts and souls that really ultimately need to be touched, and they need to be healed inside of us. And music speaks to that. So there's something more going on than just the five physical senses within us, isn't there? There's something in our being that just is not explainable by what we can see, taste, touch, and hear. But getting back to Stephen, with that belief in his heart, he could see something that nobody else could see. And he asked God to receive his spirit. He forgave his killers, and he died. But before any of that happened, he gave everybody around him, a chance to look. "Look," he says. An earlier martyr, John the Baptist, did the same thing. Not when he was dying, but when earlier in his ministry, when he saw Jesus walking toward him. Now, chances are he knew Jesus already. They'd met. May have been related. And so there's Jesus coming. Well, you know who Jesus is. Take somebody that you've known for years, and you know them as a certain person. You've got a certain name, certain build, certain appearance. You've talked, you've met. And then suddenly he sees Jesus, and he sees him in a different light. The heart was saying something as he saw Jesus. And instead of saying, "Look, there's that guy I know that I've known for years coming up towards me," he sees him in a different way, and he's telling to everybody, "Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The eyes of his heart, you might say, were opened to who Jesus was. It might not have been obvious to those who stood around him. And I'm sure by his physical appearance, he seemed normal enough. But John could just see something in Jesus that nobody else around him could see at that moment. But others saw it. Others saw it in time. Likewise, Heaven is not obvious in this dramatic scene in Acts that Stephen is talking about. And even when he tells them all this stuff, they don't want to see. They cover their ears so they don't have to hear what he's got to say. They're trying to shut out the senses. They just don't want to know that maybe Stephen sees something that they don't, and that maybe what he sees is something authentic. Because if Stephen is seeing something authentically of God and they are killing him, then they're doing something sinful that they're going to need to be forgiven for. They're going to have to admit they were wrong about him. And so they cover their ears and try to pretend like it's not real. La, 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 la. They shout as loud as they can. They're not doing la, la, la's. They're making noise. We're going to try to drown him out. We don't want to hear what he's saying to us. But he says it anyway. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Why did Stephen say look? Why did John the Baptist say look? It's because they genuinely thought that if everyone else just attuned their senses, if they could just look like he did, then they could see what they saw. They can see an ordinary man turned into the Lamb of God. They could see beyond the tragedy of a man losing his one and only earthly life and see the kingdom of heaven, to see that same Lamb of God standing next to the God the Father. I say all this to just ask you a question. I generally don't expect an answer. These are answers that you have to answer within your own heart and soul. How's your vision? How's your vision? And I'm not talking about your latest eye exam. Those are important, though. How's your vision? How do you see something beyond the senses? Are your senses a bit dulled after a lifetime of this rough and tumble world? Is it possible for you to see beyond the tumult around you? Is it possible for you to see beyond all that might threaten to undo you and say, look, the Lamb of God, or look, the heavens are opening? If not, this is not a test. I'm not going to fail anyone today and say, oh, you don't see, get out of here. You do what Jesus said to do. He said to ask, seek, and knock. Give me that vision that you have. Show me what it is I need to see. Show me that which needs to be believed to be seen. If you do believe, if you do let God instill belief in your heart, maybe one day you'll be able to look and hear the prophets and look at the same thing the prophets are seeing. And maybe you'll be able to see it and say to others, look! Look!